With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Until 3 o'clock, it's Chris Fedor with you on 92.3 The Fan. Happy Memorial Day to you. The Korean Baseball Organization has been going on for a little while now, so they are playing baseball. Japanese baseball is set to start June 19th without any fans. When will Major League Baseball get it going? Joining us to talk about that and so much more, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, it is Paul Hoynes from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. Fine Indians beat reporter. What's up, Hoynesy? How are you?
Good, Chris. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You got any big plans for this Memorial Day?
Nah, just it's kind of hot outside. I'm stunned. I don't know. I might stay inside here.
Well, usually your plans consist of baseball. When do you think your plans are going to be revolving around that, Hoynesy?
Oh, I don't know, Chris. I think, it's interesting, you know, I think we're looking at two kind of tiers of this thing. You know, one is the health and safety protocols. I don't think there'll be a problem with that. I think it's complicated. There's a lot of hurdles to clear, but I think both sides will find some kind of an agreement on that. Money-wise, contract-wise, you know, money is the problem, and it always seems to be a problem with the players and the owners. And, you know, exactly what the players are going to get paid is a sticking point right now, but I'm still positive that some kind of season is going to come out of this, you know, this pandemic, this coronavirus pandemic.
As somebody who covers the NBA, Hoynesy, it doesn't seem like there's as much conflict between the players and the owners in that sport. And I think it's the same in the NFL. Why does it seem like there's so much conflict between Major League Baseball players and owners?
Well, they have an inherent history, an inherent dislike for each other. It goes back, years and years and years. Right now, we've been in a period of labor peace, the longest, you know, that since I've covered baseball, you know, since 95 was the last season affected by a strike. And, you know, since then, you know, everything is, you know, they've been civil towards one another. And, lately there's been a lot of, I think a lot of unrest, outside of the pandemic, what happened the last 2 years to the free agent market. A lot of veteran players getting squeezed out, and owners, you know, owners and their front offices finding ways to, work within the parameters of the basic agreement, and they're profiting. They've done a great job with this, and they found that, you know, the salary cap has always been a big question with baseball. The owners have always fought for it. The players have always fought against it. But teams have found a way to hold prices down, hold salaries down without a salary cap. And it's all taken place right in front of the players in the terms that they've agreed upon. And that has not set well with the Major League Baseball Players Association. And, this is just the beginning, I think, because, you know, the current basic agreement runs out after the end of the 2021 season. So, you know, I think there's more to come here.
Hoynesy, in terms of starting the season, do you feel like the league has a target date in mind?
I think, you know, obviously from, you know, the reports, what's been written, you know, they want to play an 82-game season if they can. You know, early July seems to be the starting point. You know, the point that they're you know, they're kind of striving toward to start the season. But, you know, right now they're supposed to exchange – I guess the owners are supposed to make another, you know, fiscal proposal to the players on Tuesday, and we'll go from there. But, you know, I think, you know, if they want to play an 82-game season and, you know, they don't want to go too deep into the fall because of, you know, the threat of maybe another virus, a spike in the virus, mm-hmm. they've got to get this thing done.
Talking with Paul Hoynes, Indians beat reporter for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. It's Chris Fedor with you on 92.3 The Fan. Hoynesy, what happens if a player doesn't feel comfortable returning for one reason or another?
You know, I listened to Rob Manfred has said that, you know, they'll have no problems with that. I mean, uh-huh. if a guy is, you know, has an underlying health condition or has some concerns about catching the virus or bringing it home to his family and he doesn't want to play, I think that's understandable. You know, to me, it's very understandable. And if he doesn't want to play, I think there'll be some contingency plans, you know, around that. Now, what that is, what salary is involved, service time, I'm not sure, but I think they would make some exceptions for that. You know, Chris, it's not like these guys are, you know. As much as we admire, you know, the frontline doctors, the emergency room nurses, the ambulance drivers, and the police and the firemen and everything like that, the frontline guys, baseball players, NBA guys, NBA players, the NFL, professional athletes aren't frontline,
right?
You know, aren't on the front lines. Their job is baseball players to play baseball. It's not to you know. I don't think it. You know, that doesn't, you know, I would not be offended if somebody, you know, put their health first and didn't play.
Right. I'm with you. I said the same thing. Like, even if a guy, I was talking about it from the NBA terms, if they do this Disney plan, if a guy decides that he doesn't want to play for one reason or another, I think the natural reaction from a fan, unfortunately, Hoynesy, is going to be, oh, that guy's selfish, right? Like, that guy's too worried about this or that. And I think that guy is being the smart one to kind of take a step back, process all the information, and try to make the best possible decision. It's such a more difficult decision than just, okay, baseball's back, I'm going to go play baseball, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I first, you know, I'm talking to Adam Plutko on one of our podcasts. And, mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't really thought about it from that point of view, but he said, you know, we're the guys, you know, everybody wants to play. You know, the owners want to play, we want to play, but the players, the coaches, the staff, you know, the staff members, the managers, those are the guys taking the inherent risk here. I mean, and, you know, so, you know, and I had not looked at it that way. But it's true, I think. I mean, they're the guys that are going to go out into, you know, you can say, okay, the ballparks are empty. But, I mean, you can catch this thing just about anywhere, I yep. think. And, you know, so I think, you know, you really have to, I mean, if from a player's point of view, you really have to, you know, I think you have to consider that.
So if they decide that they're going to play, if they come up with a plan that works for both sides to start up the season, how different does baseball look in this plan, Hoynesy?
I think it's going to be interesting. First of all, there's no slider at Progressive Field. So, you know, that's a stunner right there. But, you know, empty ballparks, you know, shortened season, you know, restricted travel. You know, if this plan comes to the forefront and becomes a reality, the Indians would only play, what, in the AL Central and then play teams from the NL Central, you know, so just to kind of contain the exposure and travel, you know, expanded playoffs. So I think it's going to be definitely a different season. It's going to be more like, you know, it's an old line, but, you know, baseball, everybody says it's a marathon. This is going to be a sprint. This will be a lot different, you know.
Do you think that would impact decisions that teams make when it comes to the roster from the beginning of the season, whether it be prospects or 40-man, however you want to look at it?
Yeah, I think it will. Right now, you know, from the way I understand it, teams will probably start, if they do get this season underway, teams would probably start with a 30-man roster, you know, okay, adding four extra bodies, and have maybe 20 extra players, you know, in reserve, and those guys would either be, you know, staying sharp at either in Akron or Lake County in East Lake, or maybe in Goodyear, Arizona, playing inter-squad games, and you would make your moves there. So, you know, I wonder, you know, what kind of – would you put all your top prospects on that, you know, that taxi squad, or – just to, because there's not going to be any games anywhere else. All the minor leagues are shut down, so I would think you'd want your best players as active as they can be.
Talking with Paul Hoynes, Indians beat reporter for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. All right, so it's an unclear situation with Major League Baseball, with revenue, with a CBA coming up. Does any of that mean anything, Hoynesy, when it comes to the Indians' plans with Francisco Lindor?
Well, I think... this is just me speculating, but yeah, I think it would. I think it, you know, because what is baseball going to look like? Let's say they even play this season. You know, the owners are going to take it on the nose. So are the players financially, and you lose. You know, instead of 162 games out of Lindor, you get 82, and maybe the Indians make the postseason, and you know, the handful of games there. You know, so you have 1 year of control left with him. So do you trade him now and, you know, try to recoup try to rebuild your farm system, try to recoup some of that, you know, just on his talent, or do you let him go? Do you ride him out for one more year at $17.5 million and just see what happens? And just from my point of view, I think, you know, he gets traded sometime this season, at the end of this season, I would think. I just think, you know, money wise, I think the Indians aren't going to be in the greatest situation at the end of this season, and they're going to be looking to recoup some losses.
So saying that, Hoynesy, the market was supposed to be robust. This is a great player in his prime, very marketable. Does the market change at all because in the future some team is going to have to pay him and maybe teams are going to be more hesitant to give out big, big contracts?
You know, that's a great question, Chris. And that's what I think that's what part of the negotiations are right now. You know, what happens to the free agent market after the 2020 season? And does it roll over into the 2021 season? You know, let's say they keep Lindor. He's a free agent in 2021.
Yep.
Is his salary, is his worth affected? Now, I think Lindor is such a good player that I think he's going to get paid one way or the other, I would think. But, you know, who knows? I mean, we've seen, you know, two of the last three years, the market has been frozen almost with, you know, the great players get paid, but nobody else gets paid. You know, this past winter was better. You know, there was more money spent, but, you know, so that could affect Lindor, but I don't think it's not, I think he's an elite player. And I think one way or the other, he's going to get paid.
I saw you wrote about this for Cleveland.com, Hoynesy, the extensions for some of the pitchers that the Indians have, including Shane Bieber, Mike Clevenger. When it comes to just ownership's perspective on this whole thing, how much do you think, the Indians, the Dolans, are going to change the way that they've done things because of the questions when it comes to revenue?
Yeah, I think it's going to have a big impact. I mean, this is just me speaking. I think we're going to have to wait till the end of this season to see, you know, what are the possibilities, right? How that affects them. Right now, the rosters are frozen, so you can't sign anybody, you can't trade anybody. But, you know, eventually they're going to be able to make moves. So, you know, I would think they're, you know, just by the nature of the Dolan ownership, I think they're going to be very conservative here. And, you know, they've got Bieber for, what, you know, 4 or 5 more years. You know, Clevenger is a lot closer to free agency. Mm-hmm. I would think they've made overtures to both these guys. And, you know, obviously this thing got disrupted. You know, usually they do the extensions at the end of spring training or early April, you know, so, you know, we don't know what would have happened, you know, in a normal season. But I think both guys are willing to listen. But, you know, I just think the landscape is going to change dramatically after this season.
What do you make of the
– And the Indians have – Chris, the Indians were the first team that ever did these extensions, you know, yep. Back in the 1990s. They were the team that, you know, they started this whole trend, you know, by avoiding arbitration, signing young players to multi-year deals, and, you know, they've still done it to this day.
And many of those contracts, too, Hoynsey, have been really team-friendly. I mean, I'm thinking of Jose Ramirez's contract, Carlos Carrasco at the time that they signed him to an extension. I mean, those have been very beneficial, you would think, to the Indians and what they've been able to do with the roster because of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You think, you know, they did it with Kluber. They did it with Carrasco,
yeah.
Like you said. They did it with, Ramirez, like you were saying. You know, Roberto Perez. You could go up and down the lineup, and just about every player they've been able to get an extension out of one of their frontline guys to at least, instead of, okay, you know, you're a free agent after 6 years, you know, traditionally, but they've been able to extend their stay in Cleveland for 7, 8 years, or they've been able to trade him at their advantage. So, you know, the only guy they really haven't done that of late is Lindor, and, you know, he is focused on free agency, him and his agent.
They win 93 games last year. They don't get to the postseason. What did you make of the offseason that they had, Hoynsey, and where do you feel like they slot in when it comes to the AL hierarchy?
You know, I still think this is a really a good team, Chris. You know, they didn't do a whole lot during the winter. They added Cesar Hernandez, who's going to play second base instead of Jason Kipnis. You know, they made the trade with Kluber and got the Shields, a useful outfielder. The guy they really wanted was Emmanuel Class A, and he, mm-hmm. you know, tests positive, so he's not going to pitch this year with the 80-game suspension. So, you know, Domingo Santana was another free agent. Didn't have that great a spring. I don't know where he stands right now, but I would imagine if they start the season, he'll be on that 30-man roster. But I think, you know, pitching obviously is the key thing for this club. Starting pitching, they have some depth there. And, you know, I'm just really, really interested to see how that plays in a shortened season. Is it an advantage, you know, or do you have to be really careful with the starters and, you know, at least early on, and only go 4 or 5 innings, and then you got to turn it over to the bullpen.
Hoynsey, good stuff, man. I appreciate you joining me.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, there he is, the great Paul Hoynes from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Interesting thoughts from Hoynsey there. One on Francisco Lindor, thinking that if the season does start, the Indians are probably going to trade him during the season. Also, he believes that the season will start at some point in time, but there just seems like there are some key sticking points when it comes to baseball trying to get this thing going. Hopefully they can get those all corrected and we can get to some baseball, because as Hoynsey said, the Indians have the pitching to make a run. They won 93 games last year. The Minnesota Twins are still there in the Central. The Chicago White Sox are on the rise. A lot of people expect good things from them. But with the pitching that the Indians have, that's going to give you a shot, especially in a shortened season where maybe that's going to matter a little bit more. So that's a fascinating look. Thanks to Hoynsey for joining us again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.